Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Absolute Comics, the podcast, the best goddamn comic book podcast that is on Twitch. I don't even think the other ones are on Twitch, so we win that contest.
Exactly. Big time. Yeah.
We are the best one though. And today it's going to be me and Sal talking about comic books. Like, because there's no other news. There's like zero other news in its entire.
Yeah. They're ramping up. They're getting ready. You know,
what are they getting ready for? I don't even know what
they're waiting for Madam Web to kind of cool off before people start talking about
Madam Web. Oh, did something happen with Madam Web? Because somebody texted me and they're like, Sony learned the wrong lesson again.
Oh God, I don't know. I mean, all we know right now is that Madam Web sucks and that no one asked for it. That the leads of the movie thought they were making like a Marvel Studios production. And
did you see the scene? Sydney Sweeney dig at it.
I did indeed. I saw her on SNL being like, "You saw me in Euphoria and other shows, and definitely not in Madam Web." And I'm like, that's right. I didn't see you in Madam Web, Sydney, because none of us saw it.
I did, but seven times.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I still haven't watched it. And I'm just like, oops.
So I want to talk about today's Batman 145. I made Sal read it, but let's go through the news real quick first, because I feel like that'll kind of fill a good chunk.
Yeah, I think so.
What we have left. Okay. So first up, we've got Marvel's Blood Hunt event. Now, I've been saying since King in Black, we need a line-wide event. Not a Spider-Man over here and an X-Men over here, you know, or one issue of Ultimate every month. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It looks like Blood Hunt is going to be the big one, the big event.
Yes, they've got their golden boy, Jed McKay, writing it and moving over from the X-Men offices to the big Marvel universe. Pepe Larraz is drawing it. So it's going to look amazing, and it's going to make some deep cuts. No pun intended for its nickname, Blood Hunt. But because Jed McKay is, again, as I said, he's Marvel's golden boy. He's the guy that like Marvel is tapping to do everything. I wouldn't be surprised if McKay was working on X-Men. Like he's literally doing Doctor Strange, he's doing Moon Knight, he's doing the Avengers. Like he is the guy that Marvel's tapping for every single effing thing they're working on, not the least of which is this massive line-wide event. But there'll be a lot of deep cuts. He makes all these like little inside references to old runs that he loves. So
I'm wondering about it. So what exactly is in it? I know it's an Avengers-themed event, and it's got five issues directly in the event.
Right, and there's going to be tie-ins, of course. But
I'm trying to look at the tie-ins right now to see what they are.
Yeah. Well, according to everything. Yeah. Oh, the amount of tie-ins that we're getting?
Oh, my God, there's so many things.
Yeah.
And every book is going to have a Red Band edition.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They're going to be print only, but the idea is there's going to be an R-rated hardcore version of the issue, which I'm like, all right, Marvel, that's cool.
I mean, you're doing a vampire event. I'm down.
Well, I appreciate that because like they kind of tested the waters with it with the Sabretooth War, you know, where it's like,
my only complaint about that is that Sabretooth War is in the normal line.
Yes.
So the very small niche of people that won't let their kids get that, you know, like, oh, my kid wants Wolverine. Oh, it went mature rated. Sorry.
It doesn't even say mature rated on it, though. It just says it's super bloody in here. Watch out. So it's like,
no, it says mature. It's got a mature logo on it.
Oh, okay. Because the kids don't like, look, kids ain't reading it anyway.
I know.
But according to this, let's see. We've got tons of limited series from Blood Hunt. We got Blood Hunters, Dracula, Blood Hunt, Strange Academy, Amazing Spider-Man, Union Jack, The Ripper, LOL, great joke, Black Panther, Midnight Suns, and Wolverine. That's seven limited series. That's
Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are the one-shots.
I mean, the one-shots are tie-ins, though.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, well, they're going to get tie-ins to other series, like Fantastic Four, Venom, Miles Morales, Doctor Strange, Avengers, Spider-Man, and Avengers Moon Knight. They're all going to be tying into Blood Hunt in the mainline event,
like King and Black style did. Yeah. Like, if you read Ghost Rider, he happens to fight a dragon before doing his thing.
100%. So you're going to get that. But you're also getting...
Or like when Daredevil got a symbiote from King and Black.
Remember that? But we're going to get three or four issue limited series, about seven of those. And then we're going to get, I think, five or six one-shots. Hulk, Werewolf by Night, X-Men, Jubilee, X-Men Magic, X-Men Psylocke.
There's a bunch of X-Men solo one-shots.
My God. Okay. You know what's great about this that is better than the last several, like Night Terrors, when they released that, like, you want to read Night Terrors? And it was like 40 titles that you could buy. And it was like, wow, way to piss off everybody.
Which was bad about that, though, was actually the way they did it wasn't bad. Here's the main book and just buy the one you want. But they didn't promote it that way.
They didn't promote it that way. No.
You need to get 60 books, guys. Enjoy.
Yeah, and it's like, no, that was the way. That's a graphic you send to retailers that go, these are the books that have night terrors in it. Like Marvel is going to be like, these are the books for Blood Hunt that you can personally sell to your clientele. Meanwhile, yeah. Blood Hunt, 4 issues. That ain't bad.
No, 5 issues, but yeah.
Oh, 5 issues. You're right.
I'm excited because it feels like it's been so long since Marvel has felt connected.
Yes.
I've been ranting and raving about Donna DC, even though I still feel it's going slow and there's not as many big hits as I would like. Mm-hmm. I do really like that it's connected. One thing, we'll talk about Batman in a minute, but one thing I really liked about it was they remembered the line, oh, Jason, you have the fear problem.
Yes.
But they remembered to mention what happened in Joker where he got fixed quickly.
Right.
So yeah, even though it's kind of like, it apparently didn't affect them like we wanted.
Uh-huh.
We still got it. Oh yeah, but I also got Joker toxin over at issue 12 of Joker.
That is very much Dawn of DC.
Yeah,
like every big three book, you know, like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman references each other. It might be one line,
but that's all you need.
That's all you need to feel connected. That's right. We're getting a whole bunch of new bad guys as a result of Blood Hunt. They're all going to be insane looking. They look like Clive Barker inspired.
Cool. Oh yeah, it's like Hellraiser,
Smoke Eater, and I like Bloodstorm 1. Like, does that imply there's multiple Bloodstorms? But yeah, I mean, okay, whatever.
I'm excited for it, but I mean, there we go. It's something to be excited for.
Yeah,
the first issue of that comes out on Free Comic Book Day, May 4th.
Smart, smart.
All right, next up, we've got another surprise wedding happening over on Marvel. They're leaning into the Mystique Destiny relationship finally by giving us a wedding.
Yippee. I hope that works out for them.
I thought you liked Mystique and Destiny.
I do, but I'm like, what?
Isn't part of their story that it doesn't work out? Like, that's...
Well, like, I don't know. Fall of X is... It's kind of serious right now. Like, is it time for a wedding? All right. I mean, like
May 29th. So maybe Fall of X will be done by then.
Probably. I can see a few like Marvel characters in here, like Captain America and Iron Man and Fantastic Four. So I can't imagine.
It says the untold story. So what if this is like, oh no, they got married 10 years ago.
Right. Right. I'm just saying, I wonder what like Captain America would say at the Mystique and Destiny wedding. Like, who are they? Why am I here?
I'm picturing that, like, remember those jokes where it's like, back when Captain America was, like, locked up in the 1940s. He probably has some opinions that people don't agree with. I'm just picturing him showing up to the lesbian wedding and just being like, you know, back in my day, women didn't date women.
Right. There's no way Captain America is, and always has been, ahead of the times when it comes to that mentality.
I agree, but I always love those videos or those jokes.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, yeah, wouldn't he still be in the 1940s?
Right,
my
exactly.
Favorite one is that Captain America didn't hear about us dropping the atomic bomb on Japan.
Yeah.
Like, it's a skit of that on YouTube. Look it up, anybody who's listening. It's hilarious. Because mm-hmm. it's just the villain being like, no one told you?
Yeah. I don't know. I got frozen before that. Also, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm not excited for it only because I'm like, hey, look at these murderers. Look at these psychos who murder people.
No, Mystique's good half the time.
Yeah, and the other half, she is a violent sociopath. And I hate Destiny. I think she's like the worst person on the planet.
I won't lie. I never know who Destiny is. I know the name. I know she's with Mystique. And I know nothing beyond that about Destiny.
Right? She doesn't come up a lot. Because most of the time she's either dead or... not around because she's you know, she sees the future. It's like that's inconvenient for my story.
Honestly,
when I need you to be surprised by it.
Honestly, this might be a controversial take for some people, but this kind of rings to me like when your favorite corporation wants to be like, no, we believe in LGBTQ rights on Pride Month, like that kind of attitude. That's what this
I would not be the least bit surprised if Marvel was like, crap, what gay characters do we have that can get married? And it's like Not as many as you think, and most of them are already either dead or settled down. And it's like, well, wait a minute. People were really mad about the lesbians from before. Let's get them married. It's like, all right. I mean,
that's what it just feels like. Because it's coming out. I think Dan said it best. It was like 4 days before Pride Month.
Yeah.
And it's coming out under the logo of Marvel Voices Pride. And you know, I hope all I can say is I do think this is a marketing push by a corporation to be like, look, we get it. but I do hope it does help somebody and it does do something for
absolutely
somebody.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, you know, you could think of, you could choose better role models than Mystique and Destiny if you're looking for an icon.
If you look at your new role model, LGBTQ individuals, the psychopathic X-Men. Yeah,
these psycho murderers. But aren't they just so cute together? I, you know, whatever. It's like,
okay, here's a question. Are they going to keep it a lesbian wedding, or are they going to play up the fact that Mystique was a man for like a little while?
Right? I don't know. I don't know.
Because they've decided to play that angle up with Nightcrawler.
Yes. Yes, I doubt that they will. If you're making a Pride Month book about two women getting married, I doubt that like halfway through the wedding, she's going to turn into a man and turn it into a heterosexual wedding.
Or they're going to bring that up and be like, oh, Mystique, it was so much better when you were a man. Something like that.
I feel like that probably won't come up. just a theory, but I don't think that's happening. But yeah, they're doing this. I mean,
but this is comic books. I could also see it coming up, and then them going, "We didn't think that'd be a problem."
I love when that happens because it's like, yeah, what on what reality do you exist? Like, where you don't think that's a problem? Like, you can't even tweet without someone freaking out and writing an article about it, and yet you just made weird sweeping judgment calls in your comics. But sometimes they make the right call. I you know, I know Spurrier pitched that, you know, Mystique being Nightcrawler's dad, and it was apparently a shade of what Claremont had pitched originally, like 30 years ago. So it's like, yeah, all right. I had no problem with that.
When I read the thing and read that it was a part of the original plot for Mystique and Destiny, I was like, that actually sounds kind of like a cool, fun way to go about it.
Exactly.
You know, like, but little, I could see in the 90s them just being like, you wanna what?
What? No. Oh yeah. Yeah, the funny thing is in the 90s, like they did all kinds of really controversial things, but they were controversial in retrospect. Back when they were happening, people were like, yeah, okay. I mean, right, that's just par for the course. And it's like now you look back and you're like, why did you think that was appropriate? But yeah, this is not one of those things. This is something where it's like they might have accidentally ended up doing this. I could imagine them being like, yeah, that'd be kind of shocking and interesting. Yeah. And them going, no, we don't want to.
Right? So like, there's no question about it. Why not make it work?
Right. Exactly. But here it is. So get ready for that one, folks.
All right. Next up, we've got DC Comics is bringing back one of the most controversial plot points in the current Green Arrow run by Joshua Williamson. I did not read issue 9 yet. I did read most of Joshua Williamson, which that Arrow run's amazing.
Isn't it great?
It's so good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic run. Yeah.
But he's bringing back Sanctuary by hiring Green Arrow, to break in and get the files and everyone. That is an amazing way to keep Sanctuary in canon, but make us hate it even more, especially after you fixed the Wally West thing.
Exactly. So now that, like, if you bring up Heroes in Crisis, we don't have to worry about Wally anymore.
If you don't know, real quick, for those who don't know, Heroes in Crisis, it was thought that Wally, due to post-traumatic stress disorder, killed all of his friends, basically.
Yep.
And we discovered in more recent Wally West runs, as a good way to retcon that out, that it really wasn't Wally. There was somebody manipulating the Speed Force, and he came in before Wally to take Wally's Speed Force from his PTSD.
Uh-huh.
So that guy came in ahead of Wally, killed everyone, and then because it was Speed Force, Wally just thought it was him.
Exactly.
Which I thought was a great way to retcon that out and be like, nope, he didn't do it.
Yeah, if you needed to do that at all, which of course you didn't, it was a great way to like undo that because, I mean, people were celebrating that beautiful moment in like during the New 52 when Wally came back and Barry remembers him and they hug. And then Tom King was like, and also, Wally hated that happened. And he was really sad that everyone thinks he's hope. And it made him really sad. And it made us have to make the Sanctuary thing. Like, it was just like, people were happy. Why did you do that? Like, what is this?
So they retconned that out. And now they're going to use it as like a weapon of Waller.
Yeah. Yeah. Waller's like, well, I'm sorry. So every single superhero sat down in front of a camera and told all their darkest secrets into a friggin' microphone. Where are the copies of that? And it's like, according to, and remember in Heroes in Crisis, they said like, oh, we don't record these. And I'm like, well, then why are you doing it in a microphone? Oh, it's cathartic. Yeah, right. Batman's not like, yeah, and then it's going on a friggin' secret storage drive underneath my cave.
Yep,
like,
and then I'm making a battle plan for everybody involved.
Yeah, and you know he did because like there's a moment in Heroes in Crisis where Batman says, I didn't do that. Like, this is one of those things where like I don't have surveillance in Sanctuary. We don't record it. It's not part of it. And then in the same book, Superman's like, quick, get your kryptonite. Like, do you have a kryptonite thing in your bat belt? And he's like, no, I don't. And then in that same issue, he does.
Yeah.
So like, you know, Batman is lying to everyone all the time and they know he's lying too.
And I'm pretty sure the way that starts is that like, Batman, don't you have surveillance? And he's like, no. And nobody believes him at first.
Yep.
They're all like, no, come on. You've got to have surveillance.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he's like, you carry kryptonite in your bat belt. And he's like, I don't have any in my bat belt.
Yeah,
right
now. That was the argument. You're right.
Yeah. And it's like, no, I do. And it's like, yeah. So you're recording everybody. So yeah, there is a record of Sanctuary. That being said, didn't they also release all the secrets of Sanctuary anyway? Like, didn't Lois do an Ozymandias and go like, I released it 35 minutes ago. Like, isn't that a thing they did?
I remember
that
was a sequence.
I probably
can't Google that at this point.
Like, I thought that was a sequence in Heroes in Crisis where like Superman goes to talk to Wonder Woman and Batman really quick and it distracts them so that Lois can reveal that all the DC heroes have PTSD. And I'm like,
no, I don't think she released the tapes.
Okay. It was just like,
I do think she made the world aware somehow that there were like heroes deal with this as well.
That's fair. That one I'm okay with, but yeah. So the idea that like Waller has inherited or rather took over the Hall of Justice, that she's using the Batman Who Laughs prison Batman made as a interrogation room, that she's like, using multiversal cyborgs as muscle and, that she wants to know everything about everybody from Sanctuary. Like, this is genius. I'm like, this is cool.
No, it's good. Yeah, I like it.
Good call. Good use of these characters and story, Josh. Well done.
So I got the next thing I want to talk about. And since we've only spent 20 minutes on the only three topics we had because everything's so dry, I really hope that you want to talk about Batman for 45. But
yeah.
Batman 145. For those who don't know, I'll give you the quick recap of what happened here. Batman was framed for killing Penguin, created a robot known as Failsafe that had the way to stop the Justice League, Bat Family, and Batman. The Failsafe attacked Batman, sent him through the multiverse. This activated a dark persona in Batman's mind called Zur-En-Arr, who was the ultimate Batman. Batman came back from his multiversal adventure and discovered that Selina had a better way to stop crime. Batman went against the Bat Family and Selina, but mostly because of Zur's influence to kind of make him just be like, no, we got to fight them, you know?
Yep.
So he did that. Then at the end of that, Batman said, I'm going to go take out the Joker finally. I forget what incited the desire to finally just end the Joker and put him in prison and like get rid of him.
I believe it was sales.
Well, that I too, yes.
Because that came completely out of left field. That moment where like, Joker! And it was just like, whoa. I mean, like, I understand
sales
Batman.
Sales in this Batman run haven't been bad.
No, they haven't. But I mean, wouldn't it be better if we put the Joker in there?
I think there was like a line of after the Gotham War where he was like, I need to clean up stuff. Like something along those lines. And his first goal. No, Joker left him a clue. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you follow the timeline, this came out right after Joker, the Man Who Stopped Laughing, where he got rid of his doppelganger.
Right.
Joker decided, I'm going for Batman finally. And Batman took that as, okay, I'm going to end the Joker finally.
Right.
So that, comic wise, it did seem very weird that it was like Gotham War Joker.
Yeah, like, oh, okay. Didn't we just do this? Yeah.
Zur-En-Arr takes over, breaks Joker's back, and puts Batman in prison. We then went to Joker Year One, which it was a good story. I don't think it plays into this. I think
no.
I honestly feel like it was a Black Label book Chip wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then DC's like, make it work.
Yeah, it's a sequel to Batman the Night, which is another Joe Zdarsky story that is in continuity that he did also reference. But it does. It informs the characters that are being used in this issue because, like, you know, because Chip has been teasing a retcon or a reestablishment of who the three Jokers are since the beginning of his run. The first two pages is the three Jokers attacking Batman. Yeah. So like you go, oh, okay. He wants to talk about the three Jokers. So he does using Batman's history, which is also established in the Night. So.
And for the person who brought up in the chat there that aren't I the one who said I didn't like the run because everyone is acting out of character. No, I'm the one that said people don't like it because they're acting out of character. I like it because if you understand what's going on, there's a reason they're acting out of character. It's actually intentional that Batman is being that way. But this was actually an argument I had with somebody recently where they're like, oh, isn't Chip ruining everything? I'm like, no, the problem is Chip's run has gone on for too long.
Yes.
With a Batman having a bad persona, which is a great story. But if you jump in midway now, you don't know what the fuck is going on anymore.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This has been a long run of like, because the first entire arc is Zur-En-Arr. Well, the first arc is Failsafe and then
which unlocks Zur-En-Arr. Yeah.
Yes. And now
which I think is great for the overall long form storytelling, Mm-hmm. But it makes it hard when you're getting your weekly Batman book, and if you miss 10 issues, why is Batman fighting Nightwing? Why is he against Catwoman? What happened?
Oh, yeah.
What is his voice in his head? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's weird. So anyway, which brings us to Joker when ended, and we discovered that, yes, it is a persona that was locked away in Batman's mind, which we already basically knew, but all we did was confirm how it happened, I guess.
Yep.
And now this issue picks up where we left off. Robot Batman, Zarinar, is trying to trick the Bat family into thinking Bruce Wayne lost and uploaded his consciousness to a robot.
Yeah.
Let's start with that story beat. What do you think, Sal?
I mean, like, it feels like a unnecessary bit of deception. You know, like, I don't understand why that element is there. I guess to keep them, like, maybe to keep the Bat family guessing or to keep them from fighting him. But, like, we just had Gotham War. So the idea of, like, because the entire Bat family was like, no, you're bad, Batman. We're going to kick your ass. And then Damian being like, no, he's right. This is the exact same thing. We're just keeping that going.
Like, yeah. What if it's more to keep up the story beats we did get out of Gotham War?
It could be. Yeah, like, there is this like, division between the Bat family and Bruce. And I guess it's so that the Bat family won't go looking for Bruce because, of course, Bruce isn't dead.
It's that.
Yeah.
Because one thing Zarinar's not doing is killing the villains.
Yes.
He's still got Batman's code in place.
Right. Yeah. He does not kill.
So I think it's a ploy so that they don't go looking for Bruce. I think that's exactly what it is.
Right. But they are going to find him, though, because, I mean, like, he's not killing everybody and he's putting them, I think he took over Blackgate, put a bat
on over Blackgate, an area underneath Blackgate.
I see. Okay. So, yeah. Which I'm going to call Batgate because there's a bat on it. But yeah. So that's that. Yeah, Zarinar's got like a secret prison that he's going to put people. He beat the crap out of Riddler and he's like, hey, everybody, I'm Batman now and I'm in charge.
I like that Riddler scene.
It was great. He's like, oh, crap. Didn't Zarinar already take over Gotham and announced to everybody that he was that he took over? Like, just like, we just did this. But it's a little different.
He didn't announce it.
Yeah, but
Failsafe took over. The whole run, Failsafe beat Batman and took over Gotham.
Yes.
But we didn't. And remember, I even said, why aren't we actually showing what's going on in Gotham with this takeover? I think because the takeover didn't matter. It was just the story beat and Chip wanted to do this takeover. Yes. So if Gotham got taken over in full blown 6-issue fashion twice, that might have been a bit much.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I appreciate that we didn't loot. We didn't get to see what Failsafe was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So here it is.
Yeah. So that's the big question, though. What is Zarinar doing?
I think this is it. I think he's like, I take over Gotham and I run, like, you know, I run the you know, I'm running the Batman thing.
They're out of the Batman thing.
I've beaten Joker. I've beaten myself. And I've, you know, he does have a greater plan, clearly, because he was talking when all the Zarinars of the multiverse went into Failsafe. I think he says, like, we're going to fix this. And then I think we're going to go to your realities and we're going to dump you guys there and then take over those things.
Yeah.
I think
basically
the idea is
go that route.
Eventually Failsafe/Zarinar is going to take over the Bat multiverse.
It has got to be an end goal that's evil, because honestly, right now, Zarinar is not really the bad guy other than he beat up Bruce.
Right?
He's beat up all the villains. Mm-hmm. He's not killing anyone.
No,
he's not attacking the Bat family.
He is denying all these people he's arresting, like, due process. So, like, I mean, fundamentally, it's bad. But I think...
Right. So, but if you're looking at the ultimate Batman, he's literally doing what Batman's plan was. Dump him in Arkham? That didn't work. I'll dump him in this crazy Bat prison.
True. That said, he's also going to be one of the main villains in the Absolute Power story from Mark Waid and Dan Mora.
Right, he's going to work with Waller somehow.
He's going to work with Waller. So I think we're seeing his ultimate plan. And then Waller's going to be like, we can go bigger.
That could be. Like, his ultimate plan is to just be the ultimate Batman, and Batman's not a fan of how he's doing it. But and then Waller's going to be like, all right, now, female Brainiac. And you.
Yeah, which is interesting. Like, I guess Waller's working only with robots.
Holy crap. I just did a video about AI taking over the world, Sal. It's happening in comics!
It's happening. It's happening in the DC universe. Eventually, they're going to replace Waller with a robot.
The AI are taking over.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So we got the plot point of failsafe Zurinar taking over Gotham. We did not deal with Joker yet.
Also, no, Joker's just in a back brace.
Yeah, he's just hanging out with Bruce, being like, "There's no."
Vandal Savage is down there too.
Yes, yes, and he says that he's got the law on his side, and we're like, "What does that mean?"
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
I think it's Waller. I think the idea is that, like, because the mayor is like the mayor that needs to go away is like and has lasted way too long. Has been like
Nakamura.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember. I'm looking at it now, but I'm trying to. I don't see his name.
It's bizarre. It really is bizarre.
In any case, he's like, listen, because he's talking to Renee, who's also becoming Question again sometimes.
Sometimes.
Even though she hates masks and she doesn't want to deal with Batman. But he says, I'm getting pressure from outside forces that want change. So I'm guessing that, like, Waller is pressuring this mayor into, you know, doing what she wants.
I mean,
I guess it's a tee up to Absolute Power.
So Absolute Power, we didn't get to talk about this last week when it got announced. This is the big Waller event.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I'm tired of Waller.
Oh, sure.
I'm just tired of Waller.
Honestly, I haven't seen her enough for me to get tired of her. It's more like I was like, get to the
point. I read Arrow and Titans and she's affecting both of those. So it's like,
yeah, well, you know, that makes sense. they're setting up her big thing, which I think is Absolute Power. So like,
oh yeah, no, yeah, it's definitely going to be this. This is how she's going to be removed finally.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine.
So,
I mean, or put back where she was, you know. But
Waller?
I like it. Yeah,
unless
Waller,
she's just doing whatever Waller does.
Well, she does, but she used to be like in charge of actual like legitimate government organizations. Although she is now, I think she's using the real like red tape of the government to. Like,
I was like, because she did the whole crime syndicate thing where she sent the Suicide Squad to fight them, which is still in canon, even though it came out at a weird time. They got some references recently. So, and then we're also getting the new Suicide Squad soon.
Yes.
Cool. Who's the new one?
I have no idea.
Because I don't recognize anyone on it that I remember seeing. I think it's got Harley because it always has Harley.
Hmm. Are you talking about the Dream Team?
Yeah, yeah. Is that going to be in canon or a separate book? There it is. Dreamer looks like Bizarro, but it's a weird design for Bizarro, so I don't know which one this is.
Yeah.
Harley, as always. And then who are the other two?
Let's see here.
I'm also really interested that they're actually going to put Dreamer on a team.
Yeah.
Because Dreamer's like, look, I mean, people could like her from the show and all that stuff, but she's a nobody.
Yeah.
Like, she
she's going to be a somebody on this team.
I just feel like it's an attempt to make her a somebody.
That sounds like, about right. That sounds
nobody gives a shit about Dreamer. Outside of the Supergirl fans that watch the show to the ending.
Uh-huh.
So we got to do something. Clock King? Clock King's on
Clock the King. Yeah, Clock King, Bizarro, Harley Quinn, Amanda
it's
Waller.
It's an interesting lineup because it's not the usuals. Deadshot, Boomerang, and Harley.
Right?
I wonder if the pitch didn't even have Harley. DC's like, you got to put Harley on the Suicide Squad.
You got to put Harley, I'm sorry.
It also makes you wonder how many bombs does Harley have in her neck?
Right? Yeah, do they like bump into them while they're injecting more, or are there any? You know, does she go like, no, I'm just happy to be here.
But I like Dreamer's power set. I think it's a cool idea that she can jump into your dreams and manipulate change and see the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious how they're gonna do this because it's just interesting. Clock King, Black Alice, and Deadeye.
Mm.
Where's Black Alice in this image?
Yeah, I haven't seen her in that picture. Yeah.
Sorry, I got us completely off the rails.
Yeah. Oh, Black Alice. Oh, that's fun. Okay.
Which one's Black Alice? Isn't that from
Mantis? She's like a Black Mantis or a Black Adam kind of character.
Oh, okay. All right.
Introduced in Birds of Prey in 2005.
Yeah, and it starts this month.
Oh, wow. Honestly, I haven't heard anything about this.
This is it. This was the announcement. This is what I heard. Was okay. December 13th. They announced that it existed, and I've heard nothing since then.
Yeah.
So
I also love getting back to this book, the design for the Zurinar failsafe Batman.
I wanted to get your opinion on that because it's like a head on a pedestal. It's weird.
Yeah, he looks, I mean, his silhouette is essentially the 1939 Batman look. He's got a purple design scheme, he's got the flared out ears. Like, yeah, they are trying to go for like a original Batman kind of thing. Which I'm like, That's really fun. What a cool like little nod slash idea.
Yeah. I actually kind of dig the way the proportions on the body look, because it almost leans into like body horror.
Uh-huh.
Especially with like his head projected in it, the way it's
Oh yeah, the fact that he can like it's like a TV screen on his entire face. So like if when he's Batman, it's just in a blank face with a mask over it. But like when he's talking to people, when he wants to pretend like he's Bruce Wayne, he projects a Bruce Wayne image onto it.
Yeah.
Which is neat. And I'm like, so, all right, that's fun.
And for the chat who's asking, who else reads it in the Adam West tone, that's how I do the entire voice. I'm Zurinar, and I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my impression. It's a terrible impression, but it's the vibe and tone I get. Like Batman Brave and the Bold or Adam West Batman kind of voice mixed together. Mm-hmm. I love doing that, the Zurinar bits on the channel Comic Historian. For those who don't know, I do that channel and I narrate stuff because I always do Batman like this. And then Zurinar's like this. And so I was like, so when he was doing like, he would shift midway, I'd always have fun being like, and then Joker, I'm going to come over there and kick your ass. You know, like it was just fun to do that.
If you've never done it, you should read or listen to the Adam West reading The Dark Knight Returns. It's kind of amazing.
Is it?
Like,
okay.
Yeah. It's him reading Frank Miller's like, you don't get it, son. This isn't a trash heap. Like, it's really cool. I'm like, it's weird. I'm like, oh, wow. Adam West doing like serious Batman, it kind of works. And that's Zurinar to me, big time.
That's the voice I totally hear for him. But all right, I guess we're gonna call it early today. There's not too much to talk about, and we're kind of dragging out the Batman book, so I apologize.
Right? It's,
to anybody
yeah,
it's to this on Spotify.
The art's pretty great, though. I will say that.
Yeah. Oh, the art's been fantastic since the beginning.
Yeah.
Who's the artist? Because he's been the artist for everything except the multiverse arc.
It's true. Yeah. Jorge Jimenez has been.
Yeah.
Doing most
I love it. I can never say his name. And I apologize. He's one of my favorite artists out there right now.
Yeah.
But
it's him and Dan Mora, man. They're just crushing it.
So, all right, guys, we're going to call it over here. Oh, yeah. I guess we can talk about that. Gang War ended. Do you care?
Hell no. I never read a single issue of it.
Oh, you don't have to. It's terrible. I think look, you guys all want to shit all over all the other stuff Zeb Wells has done. I don't think it's been terrible. This is the worst thing in the run. Spider-Man is not really a part of it. That's
cool.
What pisses me off. It's a 6-7 issue series, which is all about all the gang members that have been popping up as side characters.
Yeah.
Like the plot doesn't, Spider-Man is just there. The plot happens around Spider-Man and he just, and now I'm here to fight. And She-Hulk's with me.
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, like, I love that. I love She-Hulk and Spider-Man teaming up. It's happened before, and it's really fun to see. But, like, that is so emblematic of the Zeb Wells run, which is that Spider-Man is essentially, like, a cameo in his own effing run. Like,
this is the epitome of that. At least before this, like, it happened here and there, and he was doing some other stuff. But Spider-Man, the stories are Spider-Man driven. This whole plot would have happened with or without Spider-Man.
Right.
Spider-Man was literally only needed in the final fight for the final battle against Madame Mask.
Yeah. So, cool.
Yeah.
A great matchup, by the way. I think it was a placeholder to kill time so they could like really drag out the big Green Goblin is back story. Cause I know that they're going to be, they announced that and they have some covers and, you know, Patrick Gleason drawing friggin' Green Goblin is awesome. But like, we all knew Norman Osborn was going to come back as Green Goblin, but like, it's too little too late. I mean, we've had like three or four really bad arcs of Spider-Man.
The last three arcs were Spider-Man became Green Goblin, which I think could have been a great way to go.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was an idea.
It resolved in three issues. I remember talking to you and I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. And you're like, yeah, it ended today.
Yeah, it's over.
What?
Yeah, and I had heard that they were like going to extend it into May, and maybe they were, and they were like told not to, or maybe they were trolling and they just knew people were mad. Either way, it was like,
I kind of wonder if it was more that. The reaction wasn't what they were after.
Yep.
Because then we got that weird Wreck Rap story.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the only thing.
I could do Wreck Rap to fill up a couple of issues.
Yeah. So we got the Wreck Rap story, and then we went into Gang War. So.
Right. And again, like, nobody asked for it. No one else is really participating in it. It's happening in Amazing Spider-Man.
There was a Daredevil book that happened with it, which is interesting.
Like, Miles, they all got their own books.
Miles was in Gang War, and in his Gang War book, the only tie to Gang War is that he fights Rabble, and he finishes her in Gang War with Spider-Man. They don't even finish it in there. All that happens in the Miles book is that Prowler is now Prowler again.
Oh, okay.
That was the big reveal that came out of the Miles end.
Oh, great. Wait, which Prowler, though?
Hobie
Aaron. Brown?
No. Or Hobie or Uncle came back Aaron. As a different person, and he made Aaron become Prowler again. And Aaron decided to do it because he wanted to see the information to feed it to Miles, but it made for a small divide between Aaron and Miles where Miles didn't know what was going on. Oh. And Aaron, as Prowler, was trying to be like pretend to be the bad guy so that Rabble and them wouldn't rat him out.
Uh-huh.
But it comes to a point where Miles gets all of his friends from the run up to that point to like confront Prowler. And he's like, all right, whoa. I can pretend to fight one or two of you, but I'm not doing all this. Here's what's going on. And it was actually really cool. I liked it. It was really Hobgoblin and Rabbler. Yeah, that's what Hobgoblin is. I do like what they've done recently with Miles.
Yeah.
Miles is basically picking up the remnants of Spider-Man villains.
Right, because like they haven't really existed in the main Spider-Man book. Like when have they used Scorpion effectively in the last 5 years?
But making him like a frenemy with Miles, love that angle. It's so good. Because he's always like, well, I gotta beat you up, Miles. Oh shit, Carnage. Let's go do that together. Like
Yeah. Hey, remember when I was Venom and I was eating people?
Yeah.
No? Okay.
And then Hobgoblin, after he got his butt kicked at like issue 6 of Spider-Man Zeb Wells. He's just been over here fighting Miles the rest of the time.
It's true. Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough reading Spider-Man month to month. Like, it really is.
Spider-Boy is probably the most out for me right now. I don't know about you. Here's my books for Spider-Man family.
Yeah.
Ultimate Spider-Man. Gotta read it. All right?
Yeah.
Miles and then Spider-Boy above anything else coming out.
Above Amazing Spider-Man, the main book.
Superior's been kind of interesting, but it's taking his time to bring back. I don't know if he's going to come back or if it's just like a mini series. What the hell they're doing?
I think that the sales will determine that. If Spider-Boy is selling great, he'll be back. Or
Spider-Boy's story is really good though. Have you read it?
No, I haven't touched it. I have no interest.
It actually is worth a read. I wouldn't say it's you got to go read Spider-Boy, but if you're just looking for a Spider-Man themed kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Spider-Boy's actually been a lot of fun to read.
Yeah. I know that they're also doing a Superior Spider-Man. I kind of dropped off that book too.
Well, yeah, because they're taking forever to get to the fucking point.
I know. I was like, okay. Eventually, I think Doc Ock was like, I'm going to be Superior again. And I did another one come out? I didn't read
it. One more came out, and the agreement was he's not going to take over Peter's body.
Oh, well, then what the hell am I reading this for?
So what they've decided to do now, he was going to take over Peter's body. Peter talked him out of it. They agreed to work together to hit the goal. And now I believe they're just going to go confront this character. So, but we know he's coming back. So we know that there's going to have to be something that makes Doc Ock Superior Spider-Man again. But they have brought up what I think they're going to do. Doc Ock doesn't have the Uncle Ben moment.
Right.
So he doesn't have the responsibility. He just wants the power. So I here's my theory. Uh-huh. I think Anna Marie is going to die.
Oh, no.
I think he's going to get his own Uncle Ben moment.
Yeah.
And that will turn him back into Superior.
That would be cool. And because literally nobody's using her.
She pops up once in a blue moon to be like, Peter! Right.
Remember me? We have a really complicated sexual history where I had sex with you under false pretenses and you were not a participant in it. And for some reason, no one complains about that, but everyone complains about Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, there's always somebody in the chat brings it up. It's like, yeah, man, actually, like, there's always a spare Peter clone running around.
Oh yeah, no, whatever. Doc Ock, now that he has all the memories of being Superior, what Peter has brought up, he just needs a Uncle Ben moment.
Yes, yeah, no, it's true. Like, just be, learn sacrifice, and also, I guess, like, remember where Miles Warren had a freaking secret lair, and you'll find a Peter clone in there, and you can just dump your brain in there.
I mean, didn't the last run was like, oh, there was a spare Peter clone at one of the events?
Clone Conspiracy, I think, was the one where it's like, we were making one, and so he looks a little differently than Peter, but he's pretty much Peter. It's stupid. Whatever.
Different enough that Doc Ock could have a different identity. But
Yes. So it won't be weird.
Of all your cores, it's another Peter clone.
Right? Yeah.
Where's what happened to Kane and Ben? Both have just Ben's locked away in limbo.
Ben is Chasm.
Yeah, Ben is Chasm and he's a villain now. Where is Kane?
I don't know.
Kane showed up at the end of Spider-Verse. He was in the dagger.
Oh yeah, that's right. He jumped out of the dagger or whatever. Yeah. So
where the hell is he now? He's just, I'm back. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. We missed you, but also where the hell are you? Yeah, whatever.
Oh,
classic.
Spider-Man is worth just laughing about at this point.
It is a total mess. It must be such a nightmare to make that book because like it's not fun to read.
Oh, Chasm broke out. Chattis Elegus. I didn't even know. And Dark X-Men at the end of it. Chasm broke out.
All right, cool.
So what is he, an X-Men villain now?
He was just there. It was just because it was in Limbo and that was like an X-Men thing.
Probably just so that they don't have him in Limbo since it is an X-Men centric thing.
Yeah. Have him
leave. Spider-Man Clones of Dawn, the Scarlet. They're going to collide in Chasm, Curse of Kane, December 2024. Thank you, Alibaba.
Thank
so there's
you,
Kane
finally.
And Ben Reilly. Chasm. They're
gonna... Great.
So what is it?
Maybe
is
they'll
it...
blow up.
Oh my God. You know what they're going to do again? It's going to be Kane trying to get rid of Ben because of his actions, and Ben's going to finally realize the error of his ways, and he's going to turn back into Scarlet. They literally did this when he was in Vegas.
Yes, yes. What if, Chasm's whole problem is he doesn't have Peter's memories. What if he gets Kane's memories?
Ooh.
You know? Then you got two Kanes. Two Kanes, you know, right.
I still liked Kane when he was existed in like that. He just had that weird twisted suit. You didn't know who he was.
Oh,
classic I say, Kane.
I liked before. Yeah. Oh, you mean when he was Kane in the during the Clone Saga, like in the 90s, where he had
in
that crazy ass outfit.
And I did like him as Scarlet Spider in Houston. I thought that was probably
Me too.
One of the
I
best
thought that was
portrayals.
Great. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Oh, and, then, well. And then they even made him different by making him, what was it, the other? He could turn into
he was
a
the other
spider. Yeah. Like that was such a cool idea.
Yeah, he got all the ideas that people were sick of. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people were sick of them doing them to Spider-Man. So, like, we'll just give them to Kane.
Yeah, you're like, right.
Spider-Man doesn't want to be the other? Make Kane the other.
Spider-Man doesn't want to go to Houston? Put Kane in Houston.
Yeah, make him go to Houston. Does anybody here work in Houston at all? Like, does anybody know anything about the city?
It's hot, right? That's all we got to put in.
that's how we're going to differentiate it. It's hot all the time. All right.
But all right, I guess that was a nice little padding right there. Thank you, guys. Chad, for helping us out, reminding us Spider-Man's a thing right now.
Spider-Man still is a book that people are apparently reading, and it's selling great. Prove us wrong by not buying it.
You won't. I stand by my statement. I don't believe that the entirety of sales of Spider-Man is everyone just going, I need my full collection.
No, people are. I think people are liking it. I think that people who like it just don't talk about it. They buy their. They go to the comic book store and they go, ho ho, and then people go. I can imagine occasionally the retailer going, still reading this, and then going like, why? And they're like, haven't you seen what people say online? He's like, I never do.
Who would go online?
Yeah, I don't go online. I just buy my Spider-Man comics.
But all right, guys, we are Absolute Comics. I'm Benny. That is Sal. Check out Absolutely Marvel in DC, the YouTube channel where all of our podcasts and discussions go. Check out Comic Story for narratively driven comic books. And check out Comic Pop for great discussions on classic what the hell's going on stories.
True.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time right here.